Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
What is the one thing that makes you think of summer?
Well, like, it's not camping anymore.
No. I've ruined that for you guys.
It's not barbecuing. I know that.
It's not barbecuing.
I'm just ruining summer all the way around. Yeah,
I've ruined camping and barbecuing. Today, I'm going to ruin water parks.
What? Don't do that.
I'm ruining water parks.
You're a bastard.
Well, I guess you're making me ruin it because I'm telling the story.
Yeah.
Yay! I get to ruin them by proxy.
Research guy for the win.
No, Eric always likes to pass off all shit onto somebody else.
Yeah. You're my weapon now.
I'm weapon a monkey. Cool.
Weapon for ruining fun.
Yay.
Hell yeah.
Hey, so, at least it's not me.
Yeah,
I'm normally okay with it's that. Her. Yeah, it's normally me. Hold on, let me check with my wife.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to check with me. He's using me as a scapegoat to be the asshole.
No, he's just using me now.
Yeah, yep. I'm okay with that. You knew what you signed up for.
I did. I didn't know what I signed up for.
Welcome, guys, to Creeps in the Crypt. Today, Sam is going to be telling us about what?
Lake Shawnee Amusement Park.
So Lake Shawnee is kind of close to home for me as a West Virginia boy. Not too far from home.
No?
So, no. In fact, most of the research from this came from a newspaper from my hometown of Beckley.
Cool.
So
I love when that happens. I love using like local.
It was really neat.
I had to look at that for a second. I was like, is this like recent? Like, did you go to this place?
No. I've never been here.
Is that what's wrong with you?
I've never been here.
Okay.
But anyway, Sam, take it away.
So the skeletal remains of the small Lake Shawnee amusement park create an eerie atmosphere, which is appropriate given the site's dark history. It's associated with an infamous conflict between Native Americans and the Clay family of white settlers. In April of 1774, Mitchell Clay obtained a crown grant from Lord Dunmore. I had someone, I want to say, like, Lord Dunmore.
No.
I mean, feel free, do accents, dude. Do accents.
It's so hard to, like, do it regular. Lord Dunmore.
Just fucking go for it.
The royal governor of Virginia. It was 803 acres of land that covered both sides of the Bluestone River, a tributary of New River, named Clover Bottom. Within the next year, he, his wife, and children moved onto the land and started cultivating it and living off of it, creating their homestead, which was the first white settlement within Mercer County. The Clay family made for themselves a prosperous farm, which contained a field for livestock, a tobacco field, wheat field, an orchard, and kitchen garden, as well as their home, which they built. In August of 1783, after Clay had harvested his grain crop, he and his sons had started to build fences around the stacks of grain to keep the livestock from reaching it when they wandered into the fields. Clay delegated the job to build the fences to his teenage sons, Ezekiel and Bartley. On a day when Clay had gone hunting, he never imagined what he would find when he returned that evening. While Bartley and Ezekiel were busy at work building the fences, their sisters were washing on the banks of the river, and their mom and younger children were inside the house. At some point, 11 Indians crept up on the two young men, and suddenly the sound of a gunshot echoed through the area. Bartley had been shot and killed by one of the Shawnee encroaching on the farm. The girls had heard the shot and immediately headed towards the house, literally running into the Shawnee on the property. One of the older daughters, Tabitha, saw one of the Indians attempting to scalp her brother Bartley, so she attacked him. Attempting to reach for his knife, she struggled viciously, eventually losing the fight and succumbing to several stab wounds from the assailant.
Dude, that is some gangster shit.
I don't know how 11 people just sneak up on you.
Dude, they're Native Americans, man.
I know, but 11, that seems like a lot of people to be moving that quietly.
Maybe they were skinwalkers.
Stop saying that out loud at night.
Dude,
the ninjas of the West.
You got to remember, the Native American people are renowned hunters and trackers. So they can move silently through the woods.
But that's a lot. Us 11 people to be that quiet.
Yeah.
Where did they get a gun from? I thought they didn't believe in guns.
It's 1700, dude.
So would they get it?
The Shawnee Indians are actually like documented for their savagery on the battlefield. Like,
I had never heard of the Shawnee.
Dude, they kind of did some really bad shit, like eat people.
Oh, they were into cannibalism.
Okay, they're right up your alley, Christian.
Oh, yeah, they're very on brand for our show.
I don't have a pattern or anything.
They're very on brand.
They are very on brand.
Yeah.
Seems like, I mean, we're talking about them, so here we are.
Somehow it always leads back to cannibals.
Does cannibalism come into the story at all?
No.
Oh, really?
But arts and crafts do. So go ahead.
I like arts and crafts. I feel like I'm not going to like these arts and crafts. During the fight, a man whose name lived in infamy for many generations, Ligon Blankenship, had called on the Clay household and witnessed the attack from the side of the house. Mrs. Clay begged him to get involved to save her children who were being attacked. But instead, he turned around and fled to the nearest settlements at New River to report that the Clay family had all been attacked and killed by Indians. Needless to say, his name was tarnished for quite some time as a coward.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, yes and no. He's a man. He should have done it.
There's 11 Native Americans who just literally stabbed a girl to death and scalped two boys and are in the midst of scalping the little girl. Look, Kenny Rogers said it best. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, dog. I'm getting the fuck out of Dodge.
You're bringing Kenny Rogers into this? I am.
You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and get the fuck out of there, man. You're outnumbered. What are you going to do? Die?
I don't know. Do something. Do something manly. It's funny. Well,
didn't everybody carry Not a goddamn fuck gun? That. Weren't you, right? Born? And then, like,
maybe born with a musket in your hands.
Yeah, but you gotta like, play the odds.
Like, around for, like, 5 years, and then they gave you a fucking shotgun. You're like, here you go. This is your new toy.
Yeah.
The doctor just delivers you, and they just fire a shotgun right over your head.
Yes. Get you out of that mindset of being gun shy.
To the smell of gunpowder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Acclimated to it.
Yeah, like mother's milk. Gunshot went.
But for real, though, you gotta know the odds. You're like, I am severely outnumbered. They do have firearms. They'll just kill me right away. Let me go get help. What am I going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
There was definitely some racism back then that we won't get into. But
I went to middle school with a girl whose last name was Blankenship in Virginia.
Well, she's probably
saying. I wonder if she's kin.
Yeah, she might be kin.
I mean, wouldn't be that far-fetched.
I mean, Virginia, West Virginia.
I'm just over the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yeah, then, they're definitely probably kin somewhere along the line.
The Piedmont area of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
The Appies.
The Appies.
The Appalachians. Where everything bad happens.
Don't look into the woods.
Oops, I spoiled something.
The Shawnee, you did. The Shawnee scalped Tabitha and Bartley while capturing Ezekiel and taking him alive as their prisoner back into the woods from which they came. Mrs. Clay, distraught and in shock, managed to pull her two children's lifeless bodies from outside into the home, and then she and the younger children fled on foot 6 miles to the Bailey settlement to seek assistance.
Dude, she walked or ran 6 fucking miles. That's how far away your neighbors are.
That's pure adrenaline.
Could you imagine living in the wilderness and the closest person to you is 6 miles away?
That's insane.
That's comforting and then also not comforting.
That is horrifying. Right?
But like, fuck people.
Yeah, there is shit out in the woods that we do not comprehend.
We don't look in the trees.
Don't look in the trees, guys.
Don't look in the trees.
You should know by now if you listen to this show, don't go camping. Be careful where you eat barbecue.
Don't eat the barbecue on the roadside stand.
And after this episode, don't go to the water park. And it's not the ringworm that's going to get you.
That's not the ringworm.
Oh, my God. Why?
When Mr. Clay made it home and discovered his two children's lifeless bodies, he assumed that his entire family had been killed or captured. He fled off into the night through the woods, heading for the settlements at New River to get help. During his travel into the woods, he ascertained that the Shawnee were following him on horses that they had stolen. He managed to evade them until morning when he finally reached Captain Matthew Farley, who rounded up a posse of men.
Oh, they bring in the posse.
They bring in the posse.
You know shit's going to turn south when there's a posse.
Yep. Mitchell Clay, Charles Clay, Mitchell Clay Jr., James Bailey, who is the son of Richard Peyton Bailey, William Wiley, Edward Hale, Joseph Hare, Isaac Cole, John French, and Captain James Moore, who all went up to the Clay property to view the gory scene and plan their next move against the Shawnee.
Sounds like a Wild West movie.
I know.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Tumbleweed just roll by.
I know, right?
That was my poor attempt at whistling.
Well, it's West Virginia. It might be a moonshine bottle.
I like moonshine.
It is a good beverage.
Apparently, upon leaving the Clay property, the Shawnee broke off into two groups, both traveling two different paths. One group of Shawnee went down West Fork of the Coal River over Cherry Pond Mountain, while the other group traveled down the Pond Fork of the river on the other side of the mountain. So they're just like flanking the river?
Yeah.
The posse of men followed the trail that led them to the group of Shawnee at the Pond Fork, where they were able to surround them in the night. The group decided to wait until the break of dawn's first light to attack the natives, making sure that they had the upper hand with men above and below them on the hill. As soon as one of the natives awoke in the morning, he spotted Edward Hale, and before he could warn the rest of the Shawnee, Edward shot him dead, awaking the rest of them. During the attack, two of the Indians were killed immediately, while the other was wounded. He begged for his life to be spared, but seeing that Ezekiel was not among the group and realizing that they had split up, Charles Clay, who was only about 12 years old at the time, killed the Indian for what happened to his siblings. You go, Charles.
Dude, he was a badass.
Hell yeah.
This dude's young as shit, killing Indians for revenge. I mean,
he's basically like 25 on the prairie. He may be 20, he may be 12, but I'm surprised he's not married by now.
You know what? You bring up a good point.
Yeah.
I think the average like married rate on the prairie was like 14 for boys and 12 for women. Jesus. So he was essentially almost a man. He was a teenager at that point.
Yeah.
But you also, you know, you died by the time you were 40 and
yeah, starting
half
young.
The kids died from the rickets or dysentery. Yeah, I mean, dysentery. I played Oregon Trail. I played Oregon Trail. Fuck it.
According to author David Emmons Johnston, he stated that the location in which this attack took place on the fork of the Pond River is in a location in Boone County off of the old property of L.D. Coon, who found a pile of rocks with a piece of an Indian hatchet in the general area. Because of the brutality of the deaths of the Clay children, Edward Hale and William Wiley took from the dead Indians strips of their hides, which they turned into razor straps and kept in their family's possession for generations as a battle souvenir.
So they skinned these Native Americans and turned them into fucking razor straps, dude.
What's a razor strap?
So when you have a straight razor, old school like barbers and shit like that.
So it's like a sharpening thing?
Yeah. So it's like a piece of hide.
Yeah, they use like cattle hide usually.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're using human flesh to sharpen their blades.
And they just keep this throughout their generations.
Yeah, it's a family heirloom.
Could you imagine marrying? Cool. Could you imagine marrying into a family and you get the hide strap and your wife you're like
the razor strap for your wedding present?
Like I said, arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts. I knew I wasn't gonna like these arts and crafts. Unfortunately, because the natives split up into two groups. The other group that evaded Mitchell Clay and his posse made it all the way to Chillicothe, Ohio, with their prisoner, Ezekiel Clay, whom they tortured and burned at the stake. Sadly, another one of the Clay children had perished at the hands of the native people who attacked them.
That is one of the most brutal ways to go. I honestly, just fucking kill me, like a quick blow. Burning me alive? Fuck that shit, dude.
Well, they didn't just do that. They tortured him first, where he's like just lost the will to live.
Yeah.
Just enough to burn him at a stake.
I mean, that was a popular way to... to kill a motherfucker, though, back in the day.
Yeah, why was that so popular? They were just like, burn him! The
pain and possibly, like, the purifying belief of fire.
Yeah.
Like, it purifies the soul or some shit. I don't fucking know.
After the brutal attack on their homestead, Phoebe Belcher refused to return to the Clay farm and instead moved to Piersburg to be near her oldest daughter, Rebecca. She never stepped foot on the property again for the rest of her life.
So, it's said that the Clay children that were murdered on the property are still buried there. They have two markers on the property, but they don't know if they're actually there or not.
Are they just like blank?
They might. Well, there's two markers up on a hill for the two Clay children that were, you know,
scalped. But snatch their wig.
They don't
snatch,
know.
They weave.
Yeah.
Damn.
In like the worst way possible.
Y'all get that hood shit up out of here.
In the 1920s, it was purchased by a man named Conley T. Snido, who turned it into an amusement park, which became a popular attraction for coal mining families in the area. The amusement park drew crowds, and the sound of children's laughter filled the air every summer. Despite its popularity, the park was marred by tragedy. Between 1927, when the park opened, and 1966, when it finally closed, six people died at the Lake Shawnee Amusement Park, including the drowning deaths of two boys, one in the lake, which wasn't used for swimming, and another in the pond. So how are you going to have a lake and you can't swim in it?
It was just there for being there.
Well, that's not fun. I want to swim in the lake.
Well, so did that boy that drowned, but...
maybe not that lake, but I like lake. I like swimming in the lakes. A mother left her son at the park in the morning and planned to return later on to pick him up. However, when she returned, he was nowhere to be found. After a search of the grounds, his body was found floating in the swimming pool, drowned.
Yeah, she had like...
maybe she's going to drop your kid off.
Yeah, like, she dropped him off at like 8 in the morning or some crazy shit. And then showed back up. She's like, where's my son? And,
but this was like in the, 1920s and 30s?
It was along that time period. I don't have the exact years, but I do know what happened to him. So I didn't put it in the notes just so we could talk about it. So he actually got his arm stuck in the drain.
The main drain?
Yeah.
Shit.
So it sucked him down and he couldn't get out.
And he drowned.
So he drowned.
They had to fish him out. Well, yeah, if that main drain cover is off, you're going down. There ain't nothing that can take that. You're not coming out.
That's like one of my biggest fears, dude.
Not last summer, but two summers ago, 19 main drain covers were pulled off by renters.
I believe it. What
the fuck, dude?
19.
I don't understand why they feel like they need to pull it off. I'm like, you do realize...
who are you trying to kill? Yeah. That's immediately my first thought.
Yeah, but you don't understand, like, this is going to, like, suck somebody down. Especially somebody that's, like, a child that's small.
19.
That's crazy.
You better hope you don't, like, land on that thing on your ass. It's going to suck your intestines out through your butt.
Fucking for real, the amount of force.
No, it really will.
No, I believe it. It will.
Yeah, it was one of the first things I learned about main drains. It was fun. Fun times.
Wait, does somebody actually sit their ass on it?
I don't want to know how they found that out.
I think that's happened before. Because I've always heard urban legends of that. Like, as a kid, that would always, like, freak me out. It's like having my intestines sucked out through my ass
by a pool. You have different things to be afraid of as children.
All right, I live a very paranoid life.
You don't say.
Yeah, that's why I host this show.
I mean, butt stuff. I don't do butt stuff, so.
You don't ever have to worry about a pool sucking your intestines out through your butt.
Nope. No, I don't. Oh.
I would avoid water parks.
Thanks for ruining everything for me, Eric.
This whole show is just Eric ruins everything.
Yeah, you ruined arts and crafts.
Right? You're ruining arts and crafts.
Ruining barbering for people now. This episode's a twofer. I ruined barber shit.
No, it's a trifecta.
Anal? Yeah, you ruined anal. Oh,
well, you didn't ruin anal for me.
Okay, well, you ruined anal for our listeners because if they were ever thinking about trying it, all they can think about is having their intestines
ripped out.
Yeah,
looking like a spaghetti down a garbage disposal.
Oh, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Stop.
If it's not an episode where Sam does not
dry heave once,
at least once, it was not a good episode. Hashtag Sam dry heave. Once per episode.
Yep. At least once.
At least once. It's usually from a comment or something that she's read. It's 90% from a comment.
The pool was quickly and quietly filled up with sand. No one spoke of the death. But another one would soon transpire. A little girl in a pink ruffled dress met her end after climbing into the circle swing set. The circling swing set, like the thing that...
Yeah, the spinning swing set.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was killed after a truck backed into the path of the swing.
Oh, shit.
So the trucks back then were not built like the same box trucks you see today, where it's like fiberglass... covering it.
No, these were all like solid aluminum.
Fucking steel.
Oh, were they like steel?
Yeah, it was like those old milk trucks you see back
what
in the day.
What the fuck?
Jesus.
So she hit this motherfucker at full force.
Would she pop like a pinata?
We'll find out here in a second.
Oh my god, you're ruining pinatas now!
This is the episode where Sam just quits.
Oh, I want to read this next one.
It said
that the little girl hit the truck with so much force that her pink dress had become completely red from all the blood.
Pinata.
Shut up, Christian.
Pinata. I imagine it much being like...
like a watermelon.
Like when the bug hits the windshield of your car.
Oh.
Just a big fucking red smear.
Oh, God.
Down the side of it.
Oh, God.
Was there, like, aftermath? Did people get sprayed? There had to be people that were, like, covered in
I don't
fed.
Know how it didn't hit more people. It there really
had to,
weirds
with
me out.
That much force, there had to... Oh, God, we're going to discuss Sam in this.
Well, here's the thing. If there's tons of people on this ride, how was it just the one swing?
Maybe it wasn't, like, a full ride.
That's the only thing I can think. Or she was so light that it swung outward.
That is a very good point.
Maybe.
And it, like, clipped her in a way.
But now I'm terrified.
Oh, she hit the corner. She hit the corner and just
exploded.
Pretty much.
You know, like, from Terminator when he shoots him with the shotgun and he's, like, all mangled and shit? That's all I'm thinking about, but just with blood.
Oh, my God. How do you take it there?
So, Lake Shawnee, the sight of such violence, joy, and tragedy went quiet. It may have been that the reputation that caused the attraction to close, or simply the fact that less and less coal miners lived in the area in the second half of the 20th century as coal mines closed and laid off workers. Whatever the reason, the parks had abandoned for almost 20 years before the property was rediscovered.
So, little known fact, Conley Snitto's daughter died, like young daughter, died in an elevator accident. So I think after that little girl died, that might have been the final straw.
No, that was the final straw.
But there's always been like weird deaths around the park too.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it first opened up as an amusement park, there was a boy that was struck and killed by a drunk driver. It didn't happen on the grounds, but I found out about it. So he was like struck and killed near the park. So there's just been like these weird occurrences of just like death happening around this place.
In 1985, Gaylord White had worked at the park in his youth, decided to try his hand at reopening the park.
The name rules.
Gaylord.
Makes me think of Meet the Fockers.
Fucking for real. That's all.
The old rides had been sold off, but the whites decided the swings and a Ferris wheel were necessary to revive Lake Shawnee. Are you effing kidding me?
I bet you can't guess what happens next.
They brought in a Ferris wheel, but the acquisition of swings is an interesting story. They found a swing in New Jersey, loaded it up, and brought it back. When they got back to the park, they ran the serial numbers and found that it was the
exact same swing that was at the park before.
Pinata.
Dude, I full-heartedly believe that there are things out there that are just destined to be trapped at a location.
Just burn it.
The odds that you would find the exact same swing.
In New Jersey.
In Jersey. After they sold it. They're like, Gaylord White was like, I need a replica. I need the swing that looks just like the one that was here. And damned through the cosmos, bought the original fucking swing.
With the core rides in place, the Whites added some smaller kiddie rides, like paddle boats, bumper boats, and a stage for entertainment. On the 4th of July weekend of 1987, the Whites had bands playing 24 hours a day, and with admission of just $1, he said he thinks they saw close to 10,000 people.
That's pretty fucking awesome that he kept the admission cost at a dollar.
That's awesome.
Because that let everybody come.
Yeah.
This was like the fucking happening spot.
Well, something was happening all right.
Well, we'll get more into that in a minute. But
you mean there's more?
Oh, always. I can't. But seriously, though, like, you have to think this is a very blue-collar area.
Right.
It's all coal miners. On the weekends, they're looking for something to do with their families.
Right.
They take them out to this amusement park that...
And they're not working high-paying jobs. They are working jobs just to get by.
Right.
Like, so a dollar admission. This is in, like, the 80s, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is, like, this is 87.
80s. Like, you're paying for an amusement park in the 80s? Like, that. I mean, obviously, like, the inflation.
Bring the whole family.
Yeah.
Anybody be able to afford a dollar to get
Bring
in.
Your kids, friends, and cousins, and everybody.
That's crazy that he kept it a dollar. Awesome. That's probably closer to what it was in the 20s and 30s.
Maybe.
He probably should have charged more.
He probably should have just shut the doors.
Probably should have charged more, but continue.
After 3 years, though, skyrocketing insurance rates forced the closure of the amusement park, and the Whites began holding fishing tournaments and other events to keep the property active. While working on a tract of land for mud bogging in the early 1990s, the Whites made a startling find.
You know, it's sad that they had to close it due to insurance rates, but it makes, like, I get it.
Well, there's been a whole lot of deaths on that property.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's just insurance went up as a whole. Because I don't think they offered the same stuff that they did back in the 20s and through the 60s.
This is also a different probably insurance situation, considering that it's like amusement and there's always injuries.
Yeah,
there's exactly. always injuries.
Their liability insurance must have been astronomical.
Definitely not justified to charge a dollar admission, but I get it.
But that was smart. And one thing about the White family that we'll find out through this is they're always quick to spin this to the next level. Like, how can we still make money off of this?
Mm-hmm.
So they offer fishing. They're working on mud bogging, all sorts of stuff.
The Whites were bulldozing and they started finding artifacts. They found arrowheads, pottery, and pots. So they stopped digging and said, this is pretty interesting. A team from Marshall University spent several years at Lake Shawnee uncovering artifacts and graves. They stopped digging when they started finding kids' graves. The experts say they believe there are about 3,000 bodies buried there.
It's like fucking Poltergeist, dude.
Oh my God.
Fucking for real. 3,000 bodies.
Native American burial ground.
Of children.
That's why they wanted the clays off the property. It was sacred ground.
Couldn't they just have, I don't know, said that? No, why they had to kill everybody?
No, because it's in like the 1700s.
You can't just say the that. Language barrier, bro.
Yeah, you know how you say things? Pew pew, motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate.
That was everything in the West. Everything
taking
was,
your scalp, son.
I mean, they made an entire series about standoffs at sundown. I mean, that's how you solve things back in the West.
I believe it was high noon, but I get what you're saying.
I mean, that's how they solve things. Okay, I don't like you. Oh, I don't like you either. Instead of blocking somebody,
I'll meet you in the town center at high noon.
Instead of blocking somebody, that's how they should bring that back.
Challenge you to a duel.
From now on, no more Facebook blocking people. You challenge them to a duel at high noon. My man.
Andrew Jackson, my favorite president. Master of duels.
He challenged him to a duel at high noon. And whoever lives or gives up is the winner.
How do you give up? You get shot.
That's giving up. You get shot, you give up.
You die. That's it's win up. Or die.
That's giving up.
All right.
You didn't try hard enough. You got a participation trophy.
Participation trophy.
In your casket. You don't
even
with
get
you.
That. Yeah, you're dead.
You get a participation trophy.
Participation trophy.
There's no participation trophy.
They didn't give those out.
Participation trophies.
They give those out now. They didn't give those out in the Wild West.
No, dingus.
You didn't get buried with that.
They gave you a bullet.
That's your participation trophy.
That is a participation.
For the love of God, Christian.
They gave you a bullet in a pine box.
How many times are you going to fuck up participation trophy, Christian?
I don't know.
Yeah. Christian can't speak properly. Can't. Jeff, if you would like to go ahead and patch in the correct pronunciation of participation trophy for her.
Participation trophy.
When you're editing this, please patch that in every time that she says it.
The trophy.
The only thing they can figure out happened was they got some kind of flu or something, and to protect the rest of their tribe, everyone except for the kids and the elderly left. It's sad, but Marshall University thinks that that's what wiped out this Shawnee tribe back in the 1700s. In the mid to late 1990s, Gaylord and his family began offering campfire stories and tours of Lake Shawnee during Halloween week. So this is the gathering of the Midnight Society. Is this the OG?
Yeah, this is like the OG shit, and I want to go one Halloween.
Freaking awesome.
Like we it might cost us a minute to like stack up and record.
I'm down. It's only North Carolina or just West Virginia.
Yeah, it's West Virginia.
It's only a 6-hour drive.
Yeah, it's like a 6.5-hour drive.
Okay.
We could definitely go to this.
With so much tragedy in the history at one place, interest in Lake Shawnee grew. Paranormal groups and ghost hunters began contacting the whites for permission to visit. In recent years, those phone calls have increased significantly as people read about Lake Shawnee on the internet. Those calls haven't just been from individuals, though, as networks such as the Travel Channel, Discovery Channel, ABC Family, and National Geographic have all filmed on location at Lake Shawnee. White has even done a phone interview with the Howard Stern Show. When the Discovery Channel filmed, White says to one of his investigators that got stuck in the old ticket booth and went into such a panic that she had to go to the hospital in Princeton. She couldn't get out and was yelling for help, he said. It was a push door, and she was pushing.
So, yeah, something trapped her in the ticket booth.
That's terrifying.
And if you look at pictures of the park today, it is fucking haunting.
It's dilapidated.
Yeah, it's literally...
Is it like Chernobyl's amusement park?
Yeah, it literally looks like Chernobyl's amusement park.
That's crazy.
Nature's overtaken it. There's just vines growing over everything. This old swing set's rusted out, but
I want to ride the swings.
Well, I'm not going to the swings.
They said that the swings will move by themselves.
Oh, I'm all about that.
So the little girl still supposedly haunts the swings.
Sam, but you want to go on the swing?
I will not be your Aaron.
I'll go. On
She's the Aaron. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Christian can be the Aaron.
15 people were raped and murdered in this room in this amusement park, Sam. We're going to need you to sit in here for a couple hours.
Cool. I'm the paranormally sensitive one. That's fine.
Everything's even fine. You're a walking trigger object.
Thank you. I'm a freaking magnet. It's fine.
Gaylord said he's seen the little girl a couple times, but unfortunately he's passed away. Mm-hmm. Him and his son and his wife have said that they've seen what looks like Gaylord on the property as a ghost.
That's pretty cool.
So clearly this ground traps spirits.
So did he die on the property?
I believe so. Or there's residual energy left over.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of his favorite places. Yeah. So.
He bought the fucking park because he worked there. He loved it. So why wouldn't he? But his wife, Jewel, changed how it works now. So it's not campfire stories. They call it the Dark Carnival. And it started in 2014. They kind of changed it all over.
Mm-hmm.
But they do the Dark Carnival every October.
Oh, I'm all about that.
Please. So it's evil. It's evil carnival.
It already is evil.
I'm always so excited. Can we go?
We can party and do spooky shit on a Native American burial ground in October.
Yay.
I'm down.
I hear all check boxes. Click. Check, check, check.
It won't be this year, but maybe next year we'll go up there.
Sam looks so enthused. She's so excited.
She really does.
I'm going to have to go bring my, get some crystals.
Sam's on take-up
and
duty.
Some Palo Santo.
Sam is going to be stuffing her fucking bra with crystals.
I will be covered.
There's just going to be a vapor trail of sage behind her.
The Palo Santo wood. It's more effective.
She's going to have like her own rock bed living in her bra. Just to make life easier.
I'm going to be easier. Mining in my brain.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Do you need something?
Hold on. Do you need some jade?
I could take this to a whole different level, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to that place.
Are you trying to get your rocks off over there?
Fucking maybe. No, I was saying you're on ticket booth duty. But
you know. Who, me?
No, thank you. Her. I'm good.
But you can be on ticket booth duty.
No, they don't want me because I'm already evil. They don't want me. They want the innocent.
You might be a magnet.
I don't think I'm
a ginger. How innocent can I be?
That is true. We're going to have to test this theory out. We're going to have to test it.
We're going to have to take you to a haunted spot and literally throw you to the wolves for a second.
See who is
going to
get the most activity.
It will 1,000% be me.
No, watch it be me. I'm going to be God damn it.
I'm already sensitive to it, so.
Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week for the Summer of Slaughter.
We're halfway through now.
See.
Holy shit.
The Summer of Slaughter wasn't just about horrible murders. It's also the slaughter of your summer fun. I'm fucking it up for everybody.
Courtesy of Eric.
Yes. You learn arts and crafts facts. You can make a razorback?
Razor strap.
Out of Native American skin.
Yes. It works very effectively.
Can it be any skin?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, sure.
And you can go mud bogging anywhere.
Facts.
You can't go mud bogging on a Native American burial ground. They stop that.
What happens if you get stuck? Are you, like, haunted stuck or, like, really stuck?
Is there a difference?
So
some redneck's, like, running over, like, a sacred piece of pottery. And he's like, hell yeah, man. This is the best damn moonshine carrier I've ever seen.
I can only imagine.
They just shotgun a beer out
some
of like
fucking one tooth wonder out in West Virginia is like got his S10.
Shotgun and beers out of fucking Native American pottery.
There's an old joke that's like what's 3 miles long and only has one tooth. Do you guys know?
No.
It's the West Virginia funnel cake line at the state fair.
I believe that as somebody that has been to West Virginia.
All right. Drop the socials.
Number one. Thank you for listening and dealing.
Thanks for putting up with our shenanigans.
Yeah, seriously. There takes two and three. It takes three of us to make the shenanigans. Yes. So with that, to continue on with the shenanigans, we need you guys' support. By giving us support, you need to download the episodes.
Make sure you download the episodes.
Yes.
And
like
if
and
you
follow.
Yes. Go to our Facebook, our Instagram. Go follow it. Please like the photos. If you do listen on Apple, leave us a 5-star review if you like the show and leave a nice comment for us. We do read those and we do take your notes into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So please, 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 if you listen on Apple, leave us a review. Do you guys have anything else?
No, I'm pretty good with right now.
All right. Next week, I'm ruining McDonald's for everybody.
Oh,
I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Are you about to start the skinny phase for America right now?
Hot girl summer.
I'm going to ruin McNuggets for everybody.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And make sure you follow the episodes. Follow them. Download them. Do the things.
For real. Stay creepy.
Yeah, bye, stay creepy.
Bye.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.